Good morning, Mishpachah. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. I'm Laura Densmore, your host, and I'm so glad you're joining in with me today. Journey with me through the entire Bible in 1 year, focusing on the biblical calendar, the Sabbath, the feasts, and the Torah reading cycle. In this broadcast, you will be listening to 2 days of readings from the Scriptures. If you would like to listen every day, just go to dailyaudiotorah.com and listen in. We have many voices, interpretations, and points of view out there, but there is nothing like listening to the crystal clean, pure Word of God in your life. It is living water for your spirit. As it is written in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now let's continue our journey through the entire Bible in 1 year.
Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malkuto, Leolam.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. Amen. Now let's continue our journey through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Hebrew Scriptures and from the King James for the Brit Hadashah. Today we continue the Torah portion, Vayishlach, and it means, and he sent. Genesis 32:30-33:5. Jacob asked, "Pray tell me your name." But he said, "You must not ask my name." And he took a leave of him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, meaning, "I have seen a divine being face to face, yet my life has been preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping on his hip. That is why the children of Israel to this day do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the socket of the hip, since Jacob's hip socket was wrenched at the thigh muscle. Looking up, Jacob saw Esau coming, accompanied by 400 men. He divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maids, putting the maids and their children first, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. He himself went on ahead and bowed low to the ground 7 times until he was near his brother. Esau ran to greet him. He embraced him, and falling on his neck, he kissed him, and they wept. Looking about, he saw the women and the children. "Who," he asked, "are these with you?" He answered, "The children with whom Hashem has favored your servant." Hosea 4:1-5:15. Hear the word of Hashem, O people of Israel, for Hashem has a case against the inhabitants of this land, because there is no honesty and no goodness and no obedience to Hashem in the land. False swearing, dishonesty, and murder, and theft and adultery are rife. Come, bellows upon crime. For that the earth is withered, everything that dwells on it languishes. Beasts of the field and birds of the sky, even the fish of the sea, perish. Let no man rebuke, let no man protest, for this your people has a grievance against you, O Kohen. So you shall stumble by day, and by night a Navi shall stumble as well, and I will destroy your kindred. My people are destroyed because of your disobedience. Because you have rejected obedience, I reject you as my Kohen. Because you have spurned the teaching of your God, I in turn will spurn your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their dignity to dishonor. They feed on my people's sin offerings, and so they desire its iniquity. Therefore, the people shall fare like the Kohanim. I will punish it for its conduct. I will requite it for its deeds. Truly, they shall eat, but not be sated. They shall swill, but not be satisfied, because they have forsaken Hashem to practice lechery. Wine and new wine destroy the mind of my people. It consults its stick, its rod directs it. A lecherous impulse has made them go wrong, and they have strayed from submission to their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops and offer on the hills, under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, whose shade is so pleasant. That is why their daughters fornicate, and their daughter-in-laws commit adultery. I will not punish their daughters for fornicating, nor their daughters-in-law for committing adultery, for they themselves turn aside with whores and sacrifice with prostitutes. And a people that is without sense must stumble. If you are a lecker, Israel, let not Yehuda incur guilt. Do not come to Gilgal, do not make pilgrimages to Beit Avon, and do not swear by Hashem. Ah, Israel has balked like a stubborn cow. Therefore Hashem will graze him on the range like a sheep. Ephraim is addicted to images. Let him be. They drink to excess. Their liquor turns against them. They love beyond measure. Disgrace is the gift which the wind is bringing. They shall garner shame from their sacrifices. Hear this, O Kohanim. Attend, O house of Israel, and give ear, O royal house. For right conduct is your responsibility. But you have been a snare to Mizpah and a net spread out over Tabor. For when trappers dug deep pitfalls, I was the only reprover of them all. Yes, I have watched Ephraim. Israel has not escaped my notice. Behold, you have fornicated, O Ephraim. Israel has defiled him. Their habits do not let them turn back to their God. Because of their lecherous impulse within them, they pay no heed to Hashem. Israel's pride shall be humbled before his very eyes, as Israel and Ephraim fall because of their sin, and Yehuda falls with them. Then they will go with their sheep and cattle to seek Hashem, but they will not find him. He has cast them off. Because they have broken faith with Hashem, because they have begotten alien children, therefore the new moon shall devour their portion. Sound a shofar in Geba, a trumpet in Ramah. Give the alarm in Beit Avon, after you, Benjamin. Ephraim is stricken with horror on a day of chastisement. Against the tribes of Israel I proclaim certainties. The officers of Yehuda have acted like shifters of field boundaries. On them I will pour out my wrath like water. Ephraim is defrauded and robbed of redress because he has witlessly gone after futility. For it is I who am like rot to Ephraim, like decay to the house of Yehuda. Yet when Ephraim became aware of his sickness, Yehuda of his sores, Ephraim repaired to Assyria. He sent envoys to a patron king. He will never be able to cure you, will not heal you of your sores. No, I will be like a lion to Ephraim, like a great beast to the house of Yehuda. I will attack and stride away, carrying the prey that no one can rescue. And I will return to my abode till they realize their guilt. In their distress, they will seek me and beg for my favor. 2 John 1, 1 to 13. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I, John, love in the truth, and not only I, but also all they that have known the truth, For the truth's sake, which dwells in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of your children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech you, Lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Yeshua is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Yeshua has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Yeshua, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Psalm 125, 1-5. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Proverbs 29:9-11. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. I want to speak to you today from our Torah portion from Genesis 32 and into 33. And again, this is another scene that has been much misunderstood in many Christian circles. So Jacob is afraid when he hears that his brother is coming to meet him with 400 men. He understands that this is a war party and that they have their swords drawn, and he's greatly afraid that Esau is going to kill him. So what he does is he breaks up his family into two groups, and he figures, well, if Esau kills one group, the other group will survive. And this is a prophetic picture of the northern and the southern kingdom, that when the kingdom split, as described in 1 Kings chapter 12, there were two parts to the nation, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So the other thing that he does is he puts the maids out in front, and then Leah next with those children, and then finally he and Rachel are at the rear. But then he goes out into the very front and he bows down 7 times. And then he offers his brother some gifts. And then they kiss. Now this is where the misunderstanding occurs. Let's just read it. Genesis chapter 33, verse 4. Esau ran toward him, embraced him, fell upon his neck, and kissed him. And then they wept. And he raised his eyes and saw the women and children, and he asked, "Who are these to you?" So, in the Hebrew, the English words are, and kissed him. That word in Hebrew, the Hebrew letters, there are dots over every single Hebrew letter. And in the Torah scrolls, this word, and kissed him, is dotted over each letter. This intimates that the word calls for a special exposition, since dotting is one of the methods by which the Torah calls special attention to this word. And the rabbis teach that what that is those are teeth marks, that this kiss is a kiss of betrayal and a kiss of death, that though he is putting on the appearance of reconciling with his brother, he still has hatred and murder in his heart, and it is the kiss of betrayal and the kiss of death, because every single one of those letters in the Hebrew has a dot right above it. So Esau's kiss is really a bite on his neck. So Esau still is not to be trusted, and Jacob's instincts are correct. Later on, Esau has a grandson by the name of Amalek, and Amalek becomes a tremendous enemy against Israel, and Amalek attacks Israel. And then later on down the lineage, we get Haman, and Haman is a direct descendant of Esau, and Haman tried to wipe out all of the Jews in Persia during the time of Queen Esther. Of course, his plot and his scheme was overturned and put down. So now I'd like to invite you to enjoy this beautiful worship song sung by Sarah Lieberman, and the song is called Fire of Your Spirit. Enjoy.
They are so
she Your presence is all I seek. Your royal guard upon me.
Yivrekah Adonai Vishmerekah Yayeh Adonai Panavilakah Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayasein Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Genesis 33, 6 to 20. Then the maids with their children came forward and bowed low. Next, Leah with her children came forward and bowed low. And last, Joseph and Rachel came forward and bowed low. And he asked, "What do you mean by all this company which I have met?" And he answered, "To gain my Lord's favor." Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Let what you have remain yours." But Jacob said, "No, I pray, if you would do me this favor, accept from me this gift. For to see your face is like seeing the face of Hashem, and you have received me favorably. Please accept my present which has been brought to you, for Hashem has favored me, and I have plenty." And when he urged him, he accepted. And Esau said, "Let us start on our journey, and I will proceed at your pace." But he said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and that the flocks and herds which are nursing are a care to me. If they are driven hard a single day, all the flocks will die. Let my Lord go on ahead of his servant, while I travel slowly at the pace of the cattle before me, and at the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord in Seir." Then Esau said, "Let me assign to you some of the men who are with me." But he said, "Oh no, my Lord is too kind to me." So Esau started back that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed on to Sukkot, and built a house for himself and made stalls for his cattle. That is why the place was called Sukkot. Jacob arrived safe in the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, having come thus from Padam Aram, and he encamped before the city. The parcel of land where he pitched his tent he purchased from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 kesetah. He set up an altar there and called it El Elohe Israel. Hosea 6, 1 to 9, 17. Come, let us turn back to Hashem. He attacked and he can heal us. He wounded and he can bind us up. In 2 days he will make us whole again, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall be whole by his favor. Let us pursue obedience to Hashem, and we shall become obedient. His appearance is as sure as daybreak, and he will come to us like rain, like latter rain that refreshes the earth. What can I do for you, Ephraim? What can I do for you, Yehuda? When your goodness is like morning clouds, like dew so early gone. That is why I have hewn down the Nevi'im, have slain them with the words of my mouth, and the day that dawned brought on your punishment. For I desire goodness, not sacrifice, obedience to Hashem, rather than burnt offerings. But they, to a man, have transgressed the covenant. This is where they have been false to me. Gilead is a city of evildoers, tracked up with blood. The gang of Kohanim is like the ambuscade of bandits who murder on the road to Shechem, for they have encouraged depravity. In the house of Israel I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim has fornicated there. Israel has defiled himself. Even Yehuda has reaped a harvest of you. When I would restore my people's fortunes, when I would heal Israel, the guilt of Ephraim reveals itself, and the wickedness of Shomron, for they have acted treacherously, with thieves breaking in and bandits raiding outside. And they do not consider that I remember all their wickedness. Why, their misdeeds have been all around them. They have been ever before me. In malice, they make a king marry, and officials in treachery. They commit adultery, all of them, like an oven fired by a baker who desists from stoking only from the kneading of the dough to its leavening. The day they made our king sick and officials with the poison of wine, he gave his hand to traitors. For they approach their ambush with their hearts like an oven. Through the night, their baker has slept. In the morning, it flares up like a blazing fire. They all get heated like an oven and devour their rulers. None of them calls to me. All their kings have fallen by their hand. Ephraim is among the peoples. He is rotting away. Ephraim is like a cake, incapable of turning. Strangers have consumed his strength, but he has taken no notice. Also, mold is scattered over him, but he has taken no notice. Though Israel's pride has been humbled before his very eyes, they have not turned back to their God Hashem. They have not sought him in spite of everything. Instead, Ephraim has acted like a silly dove with no mind. They have appealed to Egypt. They have gone to Assyria. When they go, I will spread my net over them. I will bring them down like birds of the sky. I will chastise them when I hear their bargaining. Woe to them for straying from me, destruction to them for rebelling against me. For I was their redeemer, yet they have plotted treason against me. But they did not cry out to me sincerely as they lay wailing. They debauch over new grain and new wine. They are faithless to me. I braced, I strengthened their arms, and they plot evil against me. They come back. They have been of no use. Like a slack bow, their officers shall fall by the sword because of the stammering of their tongues. Such shall be the results of their jabbering in the land of Egypt. Put a shofar to your mouth, like an eagle over the house of Hashem, because they have transgressed my covenant and been faithless to my teaching. Israel cries out to me, O my God, we are devoted to you. Israel rejects what is good. An enemy shall pursue him. They have made kings, but not with my sanction. They have made officers, but not of my choice. Of their silver and gold they have made themselves images, to their own undoing. He rejects your calf, Shomron. I am furious with them. Will they never be capable of purity? For it was Israel's doing. It was only made by a joiner. It is not a god. No, the calf of Shomron shall be reduced to splinters. They sow wind, and they shall reap whirlwind, standing stalks devoid of ears, and yielding no flower. If they do yield any, strangers shall devour it. Israel is bewildered. They have now become among the nations like an unwanted vessel, like a lonely wild donkey. For they have gone up to Assyria. Ephraim has courted friendship. And while they are courting among the nations, there I will hold them fast, and they shall begin to diminish in number from the burden of king and officers. For Ephraim has multiplied altars for guilt. His altars have redounded to his guilt. The many teachings I wrote for him have been treated as something alien. When they present sacrifices to me, it is but flesh for them to eat. Hashem has not accepted them. Behold, he remembers their iniquity. He will punish their sins. Back to Egypt with them. Israel has ignored his maker and built temples, and Yehuda has fortified many cities. So I will set fire to his cities, and it shall consume their fortresses. Rejoice not, O Israel, as other people's exult, for you have strayed away from your God. You have loved a harlot's fee by every threshing floor of new grain. Threshing floor and winepress shall not join them, and the new wine shall betray her. They shall not be able to remain in the land of Hashem, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt and shall eat unclean food in Assyria. It shall be for them like the food of mourners, all who partake of which are defiled. They will offer no libations of wine to Hashem, and no sacrifices of theirs will be pleasing to him, but their food will be only for their hunger. It shall not come into the house of Hashem. What will you do about feast days, about the festivals of Hashem? Behold, they have gone from destruction with the silver they treasure. Egypt shall hold them fast. Moth shall receive them in burial. Weeds are their heirs. Prickly shrubs occupy their old homes. The days of punishment have come for your heavy guilt. The days of requital have come. Let Israel know it. The Navi was distraught, the inspired man driven mad by constant harassment. Ephraim watches for my God. As for the Navi, Fowler's snares are on all his paths, harassment in the house of his God. They have been as grievously corrupt as in the days of Giva. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. I found Israel as pleasing as grapes in the wilderness. Your fathers seemed to me like the first fig to ripen on a fig tree. But when they came to Baal Peor, they turned aside to shamefulness. Then they became as detested as they had been loved. From birth, from the womb, from conception, Ephraim's glory shall be like birds that fly away. Even if they rear their infants, I will bereave them of men. Woe to them indeed when I turn away from them. It shall go with Ephraim, as I have seen it go with Tyre, which was planted in a meadow. Ephraim too must bring out his children to slayers. Give them Hashem. Give them what? Give them a womb that miscarries and shriveled breasts. All their misfortunes began at Gilgal, for there I disowned them. For their evil deeds I will drive them out of my house. I will accept them no more. All their officials are disloyal. Ephraim is stricken. Their stock is withered. They can produce no fruit. Even if they do bear children, I will slay their cherished offspring. My Hashem rejects them because they have not obeyed him. Proverbs 29:12-14. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lights both their eyes. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. I'd like to speak to you today from the book of Genesis chapter 33, and actually we're going to be looking back a little bit at Genesis chapter 32 as well. And what I want to do is expand upon and unpack this meeting that Jacob and Esau have and look at it from another angle through the lens of the book of Jasher. Now, what is the book of Jasher? It is an ancient history book that is recommended reading by the Bible. In fact, out of 13 other ancient books, Jasher is still in existence, and it's actually recommended. Scripture records the event where God caused the sun to stand still until Joshua and his men finished defeating the Amorites. This was such an incredible event that the author of the book of Joshua explains it must be true because it is also recorded in the book of Jasher. This tells us two things. First, the original book of Jasher is older than the book of Joshua. And second, scripture recommends we read this particular history book. So the ancient book of Jasher is referenced in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, and also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. So giving you that little bit of background about the book of Jasher, now I want to unpack for you more understanding about this meeting between Jacob and Esau. Because again, just on the surface, it may look like, oh, they've reconciled and Esau and Jacob are kissing and all is well and all is good. And what an example of two brothers coming together in unity. But there's a deeper understanding of what was going on there. So in the book of Jasher, chapter 32, or actually chapter 31, after Jacob leaves his uncle Laban. Laban is angry because he's lost his slave, his free labor. And so he's angry and he's going to send off some messengers. And in verse 54, he, that is Laban, hastened and sent off his son Beor, who was 17 years old, with Abichorath, the son of Uz, the son of Nahor, and with them were 10 men. And they hastened and went and passed on the road before Jacob, and they came by another road to the land of Seir. Now, who's in Seir? Esau. And they came to Esau, and they said to him, "Thus says your brother and relative, your mother's brother Laban, the son of Bethuel, saying, have you heard what Jacob your brother has done to me, who first came to me naked and bare? And I went to meet him and brought him to my home with honor. I made him great, and I gave him my two daughters for wives and also two of my maids. And God blessed him on my account, and he increased abundantly and had sons and daughters and maidservants. He also has an immense stock of flocks and herds, camels and donkeys, also silver and gold in abundance. And when he saw that his wealth increased, he left me while I went to shear my sheep, and he rose up and fled in secrecy. And he lifted his wives and children upon camels, and he led away all his cattle and property, which he acquired in my land, and he lifted up his countenance to go to his father Isaac, to the land of Canaan. And he did not suffer me to kiss my daughters and their children, and he led my daughters as captives taken by the sword. And he also stole my gods, and he fled." So what's going on here is that Laban is stirring the pot. He has sent messengers to go tell Esau, hey, this is what your brother's up to. He's heading back home to go see Isaac. And he did all these terrible things to me. So what does Esau do? Verse 64, "And Esau heard all the words of Laban's messengers, and his anger was greatly kindled against Jacob. And he remembered his hatred, and his anger burned within him. And Esau hastened and took his children and servants and the souls of his household, being 60 men, and he went and assembled all the children of Seir the Horite and their people, being 340 men. And he took all this number of 400 men with drawn swords, and he went up to Jacob to smite him." Okay, so there's the intention. There's the motivation. Laban went and sent messengers to tell Esau what was going on, and Esau got very angry, and his hatred was kindled, and he brought up 400 men, and his purpose and intention was to kill his brother, Jacob. Now, I'm not going to read the whole section here word for word, but what basically happens is these same messengers leave Esau, and then they go on to Isaac and Rebekah, and they tell Rebekah what's going on. They tell her this story, that Jacob is on his way home. Esau has found out about it through them, and Esau has the intention of killing Jacob. And so now Rebekah gets involved in this drama, and she sends a message to her son Jacob. And in verse 75, she says, "Hearken, my son, to my voice, and see with your counsel what you will do. And when he comes up to you, when he, that is Esau, comes up to you, supplicate him, and do not speak rashly to him, and give him presents from what you possess, and from what God has favored you with. And when he asks you concerning your affairs, conceal nothing from him. Perhaps he may turn from his anger against you and will thereby save your soul and you and all your belongings with you. For it is your duty to honor him, for he is your elder brother." Verse 77, "And when Jacob heard the words of his mother, which the messengers had spoken to him, Jacob lifted up his voice and wept bitterly and did as his mother then commanded him." So then as you continue on in Jasher, the next chapter, chapter 32, there's a section that basically describes Jacob interceding and praying to the Lord. And we also read that in the Genesis account as well. He wrestles with the angel all night long, and then his hip is touched and that sort of thing. And so as a result of that intercessory prayer session that he has with the Lord all night long with the angel, here's what happened. Here's the answer to prayer, which we don't see in Genesis, but here it is in Jasher. In Jasher chapter 32, starting in verse 27, "And the Lord heard the prayer of Jacob on that day, and the Lord then delivered Jacob from the hands of his brother Esau. And the Lord sent three angels of the angels of heaven, and they went before Esau and came to him. And these angels appeared to Esau and his people as 2,000 men, riding upon horses, furnished with all sorts of war instruments. And they appeared in the sight of Esau and all his men to be divided into four camps with four chiefs to them. And one camp went on, and they found Esau coming with 400 men toward his brother. And this camp ran toward Esau and his people and terrified them. And Esau fell off the horse in alarm, and all his men separated from him in that place, for they were greatly afraid. And so it goes on to talk about how, the second camp, these angels sent a second camp, and then a third camp, and a fourth camp. And so basically, Esau decides to put the swords away and have his men put their swords back in their sheath, because he's not going to come against Jacob with these, 2,000 soldiers that are protecting him. So now in chapter 32, verse 40, and Esau concealed his hatred against Jacob because he was afraid of his life on account of his brother Jacob, and because he imagined that the four camps that he had come upon were Jacob's servants. And so, that really gives further verification and evidence that when Jacob and Esau did kiss, Esau was concealing his hatred. He still hated his brother, and you can see it in the scriptures with those teeth marks, those little dots above each and every one of the letters. Continuing on in chapter 32, verse 55, and the fear of Jacob and his terror fell upon his brother Esau, for Esau was greatly afraid of Jacob for what the angels of God had done to Esau. And Esau's anger against Jacob was turned to kindness. And when Esau saw Jacob running toward him, he also ran toward him and embraced him, and he fell upon his neck, and they kissed, and they wept. And God put fear and kindness toward Jacob in the hearts of the men that came with Esau, and they also kissed Jacob and embraced him. And also Eliphaz, the son of Esau, with his four brothers, sons of Esau, wept with Jacob, and they kissed him and embraced him, for the fear of Jacob had fallen upon them all. So this ancient struggle and battle between two brothers, Jacob and Esau, that battle continues to this very day, and the descendants of Jacob, that is those people who love the God of Israel and who love his book, the Bible, the Torah, and who endeavor to follow it by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the descendants of Jacob are going to be persecuted and pursued and tormented, terrorized by the descendants of Esau. So, the descendants of Esau today, they hate the God of Israel. They hate Jews. They hate Christians. They want to throw all the Jews into the sea and take over the land and call it Palestine. But also, they're part of the deep state and the globalists that want to, make this one world government and this one world economy. So this battle continues to this very day. It's a spiritual battle. And so this gives you a little bit more background and understanding about how it all got started and, understanding who Esau is. He's cunning. He's a hunter. He goes into a people and blends in and assimilates and slowly, quietly rises to power and then takes over from within. And that's often how political entities work today. We see the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, infiltrating in American life in every way that you can think of, in the media, in Hollywood, in politics, in the colleges and universities, in local government, in school boards. And this communist mindset, this way of life, this political worldview has really greatly infiltrated the Democratic Party. And so it's through infiltration, and it takes time. They may have a 50-year plan, and they're now in year 49 of that 50-year plan, but they started 50 years ago to do this. So it doesn't happen in a day or a week or a month. It takes many, many years, but they're patient and they're cunning and they infiltrate. And this is how Esau operates, like a lion that hides in a savanna in the grass and quietly waits for its prey. And as soon as the prey comes, then the lion that's been hiding pounces on its prey and destroys it, kills it. Okay, that's all I have for today. Father, I just pray right now that we would have the spirit of Jacob. Jacob was a man of the tents, and that's a Hebrew idiom for he loved the word of God. He studied the word of God. He took it into his spirit. May we have that kind of a spirit, and that we would love you and love your word and love to put it into practice in a practical, tangible way in our life. May we have wisdom and discernment and be aware of the spiritual battle that is going on, that is waging for men and women's souls. And may we have wisdom in knowing how to overcome in the same way that Jacob overcame. He wrestled with the angel all night and interceded and asked for your blessing and your favor and wouldn't let go of the angel until the Lord blessed him. And at that point, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. He struggled with God and overcame. So may we also intercede and pray and stand in the gap on behalf of our loved ones, our family, our friends, to stand in the gap that you would bring them into your favor and into your blessing, and out of darkness into your light, into your truth, out of deception into truth. May we overcome even as Jacob overcame. We love you, we bless you, and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen.